Chapter 5. The Styles chatted away, and Derek ate his soup. He thought that it was probably the best meal he had ever eaten in his entire life. The smell of Styles permeating the kitchen mingled with the smells of home and pack and family in a way it never quite had before. Or maybe it had always been like this when Styles was over, and it had just been so right and natural, and Styles had just fit in so seamlessly that Derek had never bothered to think why. It was yet another obvious sign he had missed. But he couldn't feel all that upset about his past failures when his mate was right across from him, his voice rising and falling as he talked about whatever came to his mind while Derek ate every last spoonful of his soup. The fact that the soup was really, truly good was just a bonus. Of course, it could have tasted like dishwater, and he still wouldn't have wasted a drop, though the actual taste was decidedly preferable. "You know, I think you already look way better than you did when you first came downstairs," Styles said, having come to the end of his latest tale of lacrosse and Scott-related shenanigans. And Derek realized that he could just say it now, and forget all about Laura's ridiculous plans of going slow and wooing. "It's because you're here," Derek said, relieved that Styles couldn't hear his heart beating in his chest. And as for Styles, his face pinked, his heart rate jumped even higher, and he laughed. "Dude, I know I'm totally awesome, but I don't think that I'm a panacea." "No, I..." Derek began, but was interrupted by the sudden chirping of Styles' cell phone, announcing he had a text. "Sorry, just let me check. Oh, shit. I forgot. I have to meet up with Danny and Erica in the library for an econ project. I was supposed to be there like 15 minutes ago," Styles said hurriedly, pushing his chair away from the table. "Do you want me to go get your mom or someone to stay with you? Because you're looking better, but you still don't look normal. You still don't look like you normally do." Somehow, without Derek's consent, his mouth worked on his own and said, "No, I'm fine." What his brain wanted to say was, "Screw your study group. Stay and take care of me for the rest of our lives." So it was probably just as well that his mouth decided to go rogue. Styles was now beside him, looking indecisive and bobbing back and forth a few moments before lunging forward to give Derek a quick, one-armed hug. His scent filled Derek's nostrils, leaving him in such a state he couldn't tell if Styles' cheeks were red, or he was just so happy he was imagining things. By the time he was fully back to his senses, Styles was already at the kitchen doorway, calling out, "If I get sick, I'm holding you completely responsible." Derek remained seated as the heat from Styles' touch dissipated, and the sound of his Jeep driving off drifted through the air to the kitchen, both eventually fading away completely. "Well, that certainly could have gone worse," Laura said, walking into the room. "You were listening to everything, weren't you?" Derek asked resignedly. "Of course I was. Honestly, what else would I be doing? In any case, I think you now understand why an actual intentional courtship is necessary. Why should he think that you actually mean what you say when you two have been non-flirting for years? Stupid boys, unable to treat anything as serious." Laura walked over to the fridge and opened the door. "I could have sworn we had more ginger ale," she said, peering inside. "Styles isn't stupid," Derek growled, his canines extending. "Oh, it just got shoved to the back behind the soup. And in this situation, he kinda is. But don't worry, you're stupid too. So it's still the perfect love match," Laura said as she took out the bottle. "So tell me then. Tell me what I should do," Derek asked, not begging. No matter what the look on Laura's face said, he wasn't begging. Even though if he was honest with himself, should it come down to it, he would beg like the most obedient lapdog if it would help. "For right now, you're just going to focus on an escalation of affections so that the ambiguous flirtation song and dance you two have going becomes decidedly unambiguous. As for any more specific plans, come ask me later today. I do believe I have an in with Styles' econ group." Laura smiled as she twisted the cap off of her drink, the sound of the carbonation fizzing seeming to complement her mischievous smile.
Styles stopped off at the convenience store to pick up some banana chips and iced teas for covert snacking and bribes to overlook his lateness. He felt like a criminal, smuggling them in past the librarian at the desk. That would explain why his heart felt like it was going at hummingbird speed, right? The fact that it had been like that since he hugged Derek goodbye was simply correlation, not causation. Danny and Erica were holed up at the best table in the building, right by the window, but obscured from view of anyone actually in the library. Erica was dressed like she had a date planned after the meeting, wearing a flirty dress and makeup, in lieu of her usual fitted tee, jeans, and basic tinted chapstick that she tended to favor at school. She was texting on her phone like mad, her expression ranging from dreamy smiles to confusion. When she looked up and saw Styles, she giggled and sent another text. Danny was looking over his notes and wearing a very tight blue t-shirt. Not for the first time, Styles wished that since guys were an option, he could have fallen for Danny. He was nice, he was hot, he somehow managed to make Jackson marginally easier to be around. But he just wasn't Derek. "Hey guys, sorry I'm late," Styles apologized with a loud whisper. "I lost track of time." "Doing what, may I ask?" Erica asked with a smile, tucking her phone away. "I was, tending to the sick and wounded of the land?" Danny raised an eyebrow. "The land? Seriously, Styles? What are you, the Lord of the Manor? Anyway, you were just at the Hale House, weren't you?" "How? You tend to get a certain expression stuck on your face when Derek is involved. Also, the only Jack's convenience store in 20 miles is on the road between here and the woods."
"Danny, you promised!" Styles hissed, his eyes darting over to Erica.
He confided to Danny once, at one of Jackson's parties, that he had somehow managed to get invited to by virtue of being, at least technically, on the lacrosse team. The Whitmore's liquor cabinet had played a pretty key role in that confession, from what little Styles could recall.
"Don't worry, Styles. I didn't hear a thing. Though that shade of red is lovely on you," said Erica.
"I'm not wearing red."
"Oh."
Styles lifted his hand to his face and felt the heat practically radiate off.
"Argh, can we just pretend that the past minute was nothing but dead silence, in which nothing may or may not have been revealed, and move on to something else now?
I brought lateness forgiveness snacks," he said, hefting the bag. "Banana chips are okay for you, right, Erica?"
"I can have a couple. I've been on the ketogenic diet long enough with no more seizures, so Laura's decided this would be a good time to try weaning me off it. I mean, it was totally and completely worth it, but it's great that soon I can finally eat more of the yummy stuff."
"Like when you go out on your date with Isaac?" Danny asked as he picked up a chip. Erica blushed.
"Ah, sweet, sweet turnabout. Now, should we get something resembling work done or what?" asked Styles as he pulled out his notebook.
The rest of the meeting went smoothly, with research shared, new tasks assigned, and all snacks stealthily hidden from view every time the librarian stopped to check on them. After a little over an hour, the last 15 minutes of which Erica had been looking pointedly between her watch and the setting sun outside, they decided to call it done for the day. Danny, realizing what time it actually was, booked it out of there, saying he had to pick up a cake for his parents' anniversary party before the bakery closed, while Styles and Erica stayed to clean up the debris from the session.
"So, Erica," Styles began hesitantly, "before you go, I just want to clear up what Danny was joking about earlier."
"What joke?"
"You mean about you panting after Deputy Hale?" Erica asked with a smile, like it wasn't a big deal.
"Erica, I'm serious. I'm really, really serious. I know Laura is your mentor or whatever, and I'm sure the idea that I could ever have a chance with Derek is hilarious. But you can't tell her like it's some kind of joke, because it's not to me. I know it's stupid, and I know I have to get over it, but please."
Styles felt like if he talked anymore, he might actually cry. He didn't know what he was doing. He was supposed to be trying to get over his feelings for Derek, not making borderline tearful confessions to a classmate.
"Styles, I would never. I promise, I won't joke about it to Laura. I wouldn't. I know how cruel people can be. I would never want to be like that," Erica said, a little shaken.
"Your feelings aren't a joke, and I won't make them one."
"Well, yeah, they are a bit of a joke.
Not in the funny ha-ha sense. More in the, this is so far beyond the realm of viability. But even though I know that, if you tell Laura, she'll tell Derek, and I just want to keep being his friend. I don't want to make things weird and lose that. Styles shoved the last of his books into his bag and gave a thin smile to Erica. So you won't tell anyone? I promise I won't tell Laura that you like Derek. But Styles, I know I only really know Derek through Laura, but he doesn't seem the type to just throw you away over this, Erica said, reaching out to gingerly touch Styles briefly on the shoulder. I know, but even the slightest chance? I've been thinking about it more and more lately, and I don't have it in me to risk losing whatever I have left. Styles turned and started walking through the stacks, completely missing Erica pulling out her phone and texting furiously.
Derek had just returned from a much-needed full-tilt run through the woods and was still on all fours with a brace of rabbits for his mother. Though having learned his lesson, as a child, he had made sure to leave them on the butcher block instead of dragging them through the house to show her, when Laura's phone signaled the text they had been waiting for. She looked down at the message on her phone and gave a pleased huff. Well, some good news. Styles is definitely not uninterested. But you're still going to have to work for it, and you're also indebted big to a teenage girl that broke a promise to a friend for you. Laura reached down to scritch Derek behind the ears. You've never done anything the easy way, have you, Derek? Laura asked, as Derek let out a whine.
Going back to school after a long weekend was always the worst. Even just one extra day of reminding you that you could be anywhere but there made the return that much more stifling. Even if you liked learning, which Styles did, high school just never really felt like the best place for it. Not much for outside the box or easily distracted thinkers was the Beacon Hills school system. Luckily, Styles knew he was awesome enough to easily ace his classes, despite feeling decidedly undernurtured. But how great would it be if he was given even more freedom to experiment? You would blow up the school, Scott said bluntly after Styles had gone on to wax poetic about his ideal educational experience during lunch. Hey, Styles said indignantly. I'm sure Styles would never accidentally blow up the entire school, said Allison. Thank you. A classroom, maybe. A wing maximum, but not the entire school. Why do I hang out with you two again? You're so unencouraging. Years of experience have taught me that you don't really need any of my encouragement to do anything. And whatever I do, it's even odds whether it ends up being something awesome or something emotionally or physically scarring, said Scott. All right, I'll own up to physically scarring, but it's not my fault that you've never taken advantage of your scars to impress girls. Allison, you would have totally believed him if he told you the scar in his ear was from a ninja shuriken, right? Asked Styles. Oh, of course, Allison said with a smirk. In retrospect, I have no idea why I ever got together with someone who has no ninja-related injuries. Allison! Don't worry, Scott. I'm sure you can make me forget all about the ninjas, Allison said as she gave Scott a kiss. And another one. And there was Tongue. Dudes, the cafeteria is meant to be a place for fostering the spirit of community and consuming sustenance, not for the exchange of bodily fluids in front of an unwilling audience, Styles said, looking around wildly, hoping to find anything else to focus on. Luckily, the text alert on his phone went off, just as he was debating stealing the cucumbers from Allison's salad to put over his eyes in order to both spare his poor sight and combat puffiness. Oh, nigh omnipresent technology that has invaded nearly every aspect of our lives. How I love thee, he said, pulling up the message. It was from Derek. He was asking Styles out to dinner tomorrow night to thank him for the soup. At Styles's favorite Japanese restaurant, two towns over. Derek didn't even like Japanese food. This is just not fair. What's not fair, Styles? Asked Scott, having finally disengaged from Allison's lips. That you have a primo makeout partner such as Allison at your side,
And Allison, I know you are so much more than just Scott's makeout pal. You are a wonderful and intelligent girl with frightening accuracy in archery class. So please don't hurt me. And what was I saying? Oh yeah, that you have Allison, while a real catch like myself is sadly devoid of that special kind of companionship. After he finished, Stiles wished he hadn't used something that had a grain of truth so much as an entire bucket worth as an evasion. Stiles, you're great and all, but you always set your sights on people so out of your league. I mean, I lucked out with Allison. Allison smiled indulgently at Scott and shook her head slightly at Stiles at that. But you always set your sights on people so far out of reach. Not even just Lydia. Remember you were telling me when we were kids that... Oh man, I forgot my textbook for my next class in my Jeep. I gotta go get it now so I'm not late for class, Stiles said as he stood up, interrupting Scott. It figures that now his memory would be impeccable instead of which nights were game night and not date night. Isn't your next class art? Asked Allison. Yes, yes it is. That is why I meant to say sketchbook instead of textbook, and why I must go, Stiles said, making a break from the table, internally groaning as he heard Scott ask, I thought they were doing pottery this week. Stiles did go out to his car after all, just to get some space. He leaned against the driver's side door and stared at the message on his phone, thinking for his own mental health he should really say thanks, but no thanks. As his thumbs typed out that tomorrow night was no good because of lacrosse, but Wednesday night was good for Stiles if it was good for Derek. Stiles looked down at his traitor's hands as he walked back to the school, and made a vow that if they started sculpting a bust of Derek out of clay during class without his say-so, he was going to see a doctor immediately about the Dr. Strangelove situation he evidently had going on.